Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
And we're back for round number two in one day. Welcome back to the show. This is PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories in the world of physical therapy. I'm Jimmy McKay. I'll be your host, broadcasting live today from the Aureus Medical Studios, also known as my bedroom. Find them at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com. AUREUSmedical.com. I'm loving the fact that it's live. I can't edit that out. We'll just go with it. Leaders in hashtag travel physical therapy. If you're looking to travel about the country and treat patients geographically where you want to and setting where you want to, check out what Aureus has to offer, AUREUSmedical.com. Go there. Great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about really insight, things that are maybe like a barrier to learning. I'm wondering where our guest was today when I was struggling through PT school, trying to figure out how to navigate that. I'm guessing laying on a book is probably not a solution she's going to be giving you tonight in terms of how to get the information in your head. Probably not one of those. Spoiler alert, doesn't work. We want to make sure you drop us a comment or a question. Let us know where you're at. That's below if you're watching live stream or the replay. Let us know you're watching the replay by dropping replay in there. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and now again doing those live streams. Check out all the shows available on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at PT Pintcast on the socials. Let's bring in our guest today. Physical therapy educator with a passion for learning science, all things pediatrics, and diversity, equity, and inclusion in the PT profession. Let's welcome to the program, Mika Mitchell.
Thank you. Thank you.
I felt motivated. Honestly, I walk around the house, and at any moment where I'm like feeling down, I'm just like, you know what? Mika, welcome to the show. How are we doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for having me.
Where are you geographically? Where are you located?
I am located in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Ooh, rub it in. I love like that North Carolina, South Carolina area.
Yes.
People are like, you know, it gets really hot down there. I'm like, don't threaten me with a good time. I love it hot like that. Like, I lived in South Carolina for 2 years and I would go running in July at noon on a sunny day. Because my thing is, if it's time to get sweaty, like, let's just get really sweaty and just get rid of it.
Just go all in.
But yeah, there is part of it where it's like, well, I walked outside to the car and it was instantly bathed in sweat. I'm like, but you know what? It's better than snow. It's always better than snow.
That is very true.
Mika, tell the audience about you. Like, what's your superhero backstory in the professional physical therapy?
I am originally from New York.
Where in New York?
Grew up in Brooklyn and Long Island.
All right. Okay.
And then came to North Carolina for college and never went back.
Yeah. And you're in the world of pediatrics. That's kind of your jam. If people follow Mika on Twitter, as we have her profile there on the screen at MMitchellPCS, talking a lot about pediatric physical therapy. Was that what you did right out of a PT school? Did you know, were you one of those who was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. It's this. And then you went that way. Or were you like the rest of us where we were going to go one way and we hit a hard right turn somewhere else?
I did not know I was going to be so interested in pediatrics going into PT school. I think every class it was, oh yeah, I could do that. Oh yeah, I could do that too. And then it was our pediatric class and that was it. I was like, wait, we can play with kids all day?
All day.
And I enjoy children. I think I found my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, and then after that, it was.
It's all down. That's your thing. And once they get their hooks in you and they start looking at you with those eyes, it's like, how am I going to say no? Our first round brought to you by our friends from Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, BFR, as the cool kids are calling it these days. Check out more at owensrecoveryscience.com. Had Johnny Owens and Kyle Kimbrell on from Owens Recovery Science. not long ago, and they were actually talking about the implications of BFR in pediatric physical therapy and geriatric PT. And I thought, you know, we kind of had like part of the discussion, which is like, hey, this started in the tactical athlete, you know, limb salvage, military, heavy military based. And then it went to sports, which I think is like kind of that progression. Like, ooh, what are they doing? Can it give me an edge? Mm-hmm. Now BFR has been is beginning to be implemented in research anyway, in pediatric and geriatric populations. Very exciting to see where they're going to go. They're obviously going to research it very, very carefully because you need to do this very, very carefully. We talk about this all the time. They've got the equipment to do it properly because the FDA considers a tourniquet a medical device that you're occluding
blood. Watch out.
You want to make sure you're doing it right. So Johnny Owens and the team bringing that to the pediatric world, which is pretty exciting. So check them out, owensrecoveryscience.com. Mika, you're a PT educator as well. Tell everybody who you get to talk with and educate.
Yes, I am a professor at Methodist University in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which happens to be my alma mater for my undergraduate degree. So my heart is just so full for all things Methodist University.
What is the mascot of Methodist? I'm usually very good at mascots. Ooh, I cannot think of what Methodist
is. Monarch. It's a lion.
Monarch. Well done.
And we're green and gold.
I knew the colors. I knew it was green and gold picture. So that's got to be pretty fulfilling in terms of being able to treat kids, work in pediatric physical therapy, also educate kids, as I like to call them, going through PT school. And I'm pretty sure after a couple years after PT school, when you graduate, you feel like everybody's a kid. And that's something that excites you in terms of how to get people to grab onto information and acquire knowledge. And you lead off by saying our intuition is most likely ineffective in acquiring knowledge. And I mentioned in the intro to your show, probably sleeping on a book or, you know, sometimes I would put the book on my head to try to get that whole osmosis thing. Not the best strategy. But why is our intuition most likely ineffective when we're trying to acquire knowledge in such a short time like PT school?
I think it's ineffective because we want to choose what's easy. Even though studying is not easy, we would perceive that if I do what I've always done, I can learn this. And a lot of times what happens is we've crammed to this point before, you know, getting to graduate level studies and putting in a little bit different work and trying to change the strategy of how we study has been shown more effective. So for me, and I would say I'm guilty of it as well. In PT school, it took me a while to figure it out. And so my passion with the learning science is, let me teach you, let me show you this sooner so you don't even have to try to unlearn some of the bad habits that you've already established. And so, you know, how many of us love a highlighter?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, multiple color pens and underlining. And
I highlight everything, which is actually like unhighlighting like two words, which is probably why you're saying it's ineffective.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, I've been guilty of the transcribing. I'm going to read my book and I'm going to read it and write at the same time. So I'm reading and writing and reading and writing, but never putting the demand on your knowledge up front, because that's painful. That's sure. The hard part. Sure. Where you ask yourself a question and you're like, ooh, I don't know the answer. I don't like how that feels. I don't want to do that again. I'll just pretend like, you know, that illusion of knowledge. I'll pretend that I'm studying effectively because I can see the answer. And oh yeah, I've seen that. Oh yeah, I know that answer. Until you take your test and then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Because a good test is going to highlight what you don't know. A good test.
Yes. Yeah. And I think,
well, I was going to say, you mentioned a second ago, doing what you've always done and then doing it in grad school. It just brings a quote to me, which is, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you always got. So we should be smart enough to go, okay, if I keep doing what I've always done, I'm never going to improve at all.
And we don't realize how harmful cramming can be because you've been successful, you know, yeah, to this point in high school and in undergrad. But the knowledge that we're learning in PT school, you need all of that foundational knowledge and you need to retain it. So it's not like the first test you take in anatomy, I can just cram it, pump and dump it. I don't need it again. You're going to need that forever.
Right. Yeah. I was taught this early in PT school from my professor, Sky Donovan, who was just chiming in the last episode we had. And she would write these questions and I'd say, man, your questions are like inception. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, they're like questions in questions, like three dream levels down. And she's like, well, when you're in clinic or when you're taking the MPTE, they're not going to say, you know, what's the muscle that's originates here and inserts here. They're going to put it in context, and you've got to be able to learn to answer questions like that. And you've got people chiming in right now. Cookie Friedhoff Bowman, who, by the way, little PT Pinecast history, was episode number one. Cookie chiming in saying, yeah, sadly, the public education system doesn't teach kids how to study. Something her sixth grade teacher taught her. But, you know, I forget where I watched it to give it credit, but the current public, you know, grade school through high school education system was really born about the assembly line and how to get people to know how to do something over and over and over again so we can process things quickly. And we know that's not a great way to do it in higher education. So if we lead with our intuition is most likely ineffective in acquiring knowledge, Mika, what do we do about it?
So now it's an opportunity to learn some new strategies. And you have to, one, first of all, have a growth mindset. Understanding that you have the capability to learn more, to learn deeper, to learn different things, no matter how old you are. We learn that in physical therapy with neuroplasticity. Like, there is that potential for growth and for learning. And so looking at the evidence, and I've dived into lots of books and websites and authors, research authors that look into these effective ways of studying. And so I don't want to take up all the time, but I really want to talk about one particular, and it is retrieval practice. Okay. And how you don't want to surprise yourself at the test about what you don't know. You want to be testing yourself along the way.
Right. We might have just lost Mika. Might be having an internet issue right there. We'll see if we can get her back. And we'll finish this up while we're taking a break. Do you want to let people know that we're going to have a contest from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, a sponsor of the show, going to have an opportunity for you guys to pick up another one of their monographs. They've got all these educational sets. So if you're looking to up your Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy game, why not do it from the Academy of Orthopedic PT? Check them at orthopt.org. As we bring back in Mika. Well, that might have been an internet connection or something like that. You're back. She's back, though, everybody.
Where did I pause? I apologize.
Yeah, so screen froze. It's technical technology. It's great until it doesn't work. You were really talking about quizzing yourself along the way, which, as you mentioned at the top of the show, I had students a year above me hand down quizzes, and I would take them, and I felt icky if I didn't know the answers, which is why I avoided them. But that's a reason, is what you're saying, is why I should not have avoided them. I should have gone that way. So that's a more effective route in the active process of learning, is what you're saying, in terms of evidence based.
Yes. And looking at the combination of that, what we call, it's called retrieval practice. So really just putting a demand on that knowledge, and you can practice writing your notes out. You know, if you have a topic that you're studying, instead of reading everything that you've read before, because you have that illusion of knowledge, you just take a blank piece of paper and write everything you know about that topic.
Just go.
And then where you stop, you go back to the book, review your notes, and see what you were missing. And then from there, you identify what is it about what I was missing? That is it I didn't understand it? Is it that I just didn't give it enough time for it to, you know, to stick and solidify in my knowledge base? And so just going through that process, it gives you that understanding of, okay, I've got this topic. And then once you have a topic, because it's comfortable, we're not going to stay there.
Right.
We're going to say, okay, I do know this. It's not an illusion. I can explain it. And now I'm going to study something else.
Yeah, you talk about a lot of things. I love when people put words to things that I'm like, I knew that, but I didn't know how to put it to words. And you're talking about, I love that phrase, the illusion of knowledge. It's like, do you know this? You're like, yeah, I know this. And then you kind of have this like, yeah, I know this. How are you going to test me? And it really is that, I mean, it's a great PT analogy, which is we get injured in the directions that we don't strengthen, or we have poor range of motion, right? I'm a runner and a cyclist and a swimmer. I'm real good at going forward. And when do I get injured? I get injured when I go sideways. So which way do I need to go? I need to go sideways a lot in my training. But if we constantly review topics and areas that we're really comfortable with, and I found myself doing this when I was, ironically, at the end of PT school, studying for the NPTE, I'd review stuff that I felt, because it's a reward, right? Mm-hmm. I know this. I'm going to get this right. But hey, Jimmy, what if they literally ask you anything else? Well, I'll just deal with that when I'm comfortable. And you don't want that to happen on the test or in the clinic or on the NPTE. Exactly. You want to make sure you can do that before that. So I love that. What do you recommend? Is it quizzes along the way that you design yourself? I know a lot of people used to use Quizlets and stuff like that. They used to use, you know, quiz designed by other people, because if I'm designing my quiz, I kind of already know the answers and I kind of make it myself. We used to switch quizzes with kind of study groups sometimes. What else do you recommend for students in terms of using these evidence-based strategies to maximize that learning?
I think those are great examples. Definitely, you know, don't rely on your own questions, because you'll know the answers. Yeah. But there are endless opportunities for just coming up with creative ways for retrieval practice. And it really, I started learning about these learning strategies before I started teaching, but it really stuck home once I had to teach content. And so this is a way to actually do retrieval practice. Another method is teaching somebody, explaining the concept to somebody else, and somebody that doesn't necessarily know what you're talking about, as well as somebody that knows what you're talking about. So that way you can see where you're stumbling over your words and where you might need to go back to the basic definitions of all the things that you're saying. You know, like if we're trying to explain a topic and we're using bigger words, but can you break down every word? Because that person that you're talking to may ask a question. And then you also show how much you understand about it. And so just really preparing yourself as if you were going to teach the content. And it's great for physical therapists, because we can apply this in any part of our career. So before coming to PT school, as a PT student, as a resident, as a fellow, as a PT, because you're always doing education in some capacity. And the more you can explain it to your patients, the more you have buy-in. So as a therapist, you know, that retrieval practice, you're practicing your script. How are you going to explain this to this patient? How do you explain their disease process to get their buy-in so that they will really participate in your intervention? Or, you know, if you're trying to get them to do something different that they've never heard of before, if you're not going to explain it well, you're probably not going to get that buy-in. And then it's just like, okay, well, they didn't want to participate. You got to sell it. You know, you have to tell them, like, this is why. And I tell my students all the time, don't, you know, embrace the why questions. Like, why? Why? Let me tell you why, you know, like and the more you study and the more you learn and the more you understand your craft, then you can just tell all about it.
Yeah. Cookie dropping a lot in here. She says she loves it. See one, do one, teach one. I was literally going to say the exact same thing. Cookie and I are literally right here. By all means, see one, you know, just be an observer and just kind of take that in and absorb and allow that. Okay. But then know that you're going to have to now do it. And then eventually you're going to have to teach it. So you start to formulate that teach it while you're seeing, and you get to kind of go through it either kinesthetically or verbally when you're doing, and then it's time to teach it. And then you go back to Einstein, right? He would say, like, if you don't know how to explain something simply, you don't understand something. I love quotes like that. And you're right, in PT, and from my background in radio, I would tell people all the time, if you don't know how you're going to explain this to me now while we're in my office away from the radio studio, how you're going to say it on the air when that light comes on and you know that mic is live and there's 100,000 people listening, trust me, even the most savvy veterans in broadcasting will freeze. You better practice that. And this goes back to getting comfortable being uncomfortable, because someone's going to ask you a tough question. Let's practice how you're going to answer those tough questions now, or by yourself or with a group, someone who knows exactly. I love what you said, that with someone who has no idea what you're talking about. That's a safe environment. Like, yeah, that sounds kind of good. But they can give you good feedback in terms of, I understand what you said, but you kind of, like, your pitch wasn't direct. And then you get someone who really knows what they're talking about. Like, okay, here's where you kind of fell short. So using those strategies is definitely probably good to do before the NPTE, because that's really when I started to hone in on those. I probably should have been putting those into play well before my third year in PT school. But this brings up to our second point I wanted you to talk about, which is mindset and commitment can make change. I feel like mindset and commitment has to go with, hey, I want to just go cram because I've been very comfortable cramming and it's been very good to me. But if you want to make change, you got to make, you got to have it in your head. You got to say it out loud. You got to make a commitment. That's only when change can occur.
Absolutely. And it just goes back to that growth mindset, being open to the possibilities, and giving yourself permission to understand that we're not perfect. You know, I think PT professionals, we come into this profession, we have had great grades, we are competitive. You know, it's all about knowing all the things and doing everything well, and just being okay with, I'm not going to get everything. I don't know it all, but I have the capacity to continue to learn.
Right.
And with the foundation and with the understanding of that there's more to acquire, I can continue to move forward. I don't have to say, well, you know, these people in my class, I barely got into school. Nobody knows that, but you know, sometimes that imposter syndrome kind of settles in. And so it's like, no, give yourself the credit. You made it to PT school. You belong here. You have the capacity to continue to learn. And so taking that and just grinding, you know, that commitment is, now I know that there are more effective ways to study. I have to hold myself accountable, maybe your study partners or, you know, whoever it is that you check in with, holding yourself accountable and being committed to take one thing. Because, you know, I talk to our students about a lot of different study strategies, and maybe it can be overwhelming to think of, like, I have to change everything right now, but you can change one thing. You know, take the thing that you're most comfortable with and say, okay, if I love the highlight, like I just went to the store and I bought all the highlighters in every color. I will say you can still highlight, but let's try to be more effective with it. You know, maybe use it to doodle around the paper, but not to highlight all the words in the book. And just really know that there are ways to focus your attention when it's time to study. We're turning off notifications. We are, you know, taking the apps that you automatically go to on your phone that you don't even realize, like, how did I even get here?
Right.
You know, and taking those distractions and hold, you know, the people around you, letting them know, okay, this is the time. Like, if I come out of this space for studying, don't pay any attention to me because I still have more time, you know, or setting time boundaries and accountability for yourself. And those little steps will continue to kind of flex your muscles of learning, and you'll see the effectiveness, and then you're like, okay, well, I can do more. Okay, so what's next?
Yeah. So two things. One, what is it about the highlighting? Because as the more you say it, the more I realize, like, it just felt, it was like, I at least touched the word, right? So like later on, I'll go, I touched all the words. But I really didn't learn, right? Just touching them does not do anything. It's just like, you know, laying with the book on my head. They're both doing it, nothing. So is that my whoobie? Is that my comfort blanket of touching all the words with a marker? Look, I highlighted everything.
Yeah, and maybe it's that fault, the sense of maybe you think it's their kinesthetic versus you actually picking up the pen and writing the words without seeing them.
Right.
You know, so if you feel the comfort in holding the highlighter, you know, you could possibly write with a highlighter, but you know, if you felt like the highlighter was your thing, but you know, just really identifying that's part of, you know, the metacognition, how we think about thinking, sit back and say, why do I do the things that I do? Is this going to be effective, or has it been effective? Or if you identify, you know, if you're in PT school or you're studying for PCS or you're studying for MPT and you've taken practice tests and you hit a block and you're like, wow, I thought I knew these things, and then I realize I don't, then you have to make, like, you have to be willing to make a quick change to continue.
Yeah.
And be successful.
The second point you just brought up a few seconds ago was turning off the apps that we go to. And this was great advice that I got from several professors in PT school, really around the NPTE. And they said, listen, if you're taking a practice test, you're going to have the impulse to say, pretty sure I know this. Let me Google it to find out real quick in the middle of a practice test. But what they told me was getting it wrong on a practice test is a win. Do that. By all means, take your best shot. But to make sure that you don't just default to, let me just do like a new tab real quick here on the side, because obviously there are no tabs on the NPTE, but that can lead you, I'm guessing, into a false sense of security of like, I'm pretty sure I knew that. Oh yeah, I knew that. Because you might have guessed it right. So by all means, get it wrong and don't, you're saying resist that urge in terms of looking it up. That's got to be big.
Absolutely. And you just want to hold yourself accountable because the high stake is the test.
Yeah.
And so if you practice any test taking, you know, if you know, if you have test anxiety, if you get nervous, maybe being in the type of space or understanding what that environment is going to be like, but simulating what that test is going to be. If you have 2 hours to take a test, practice studying for 2 hours. If it's the MPT, you need to practice. And for the weekend, set yourself in a place where you have that. What, how long is the test?
Like 7? 4 hours.
Is it four? Okay. Yeah. So you have your MPT, then you have your certified specialist exams. And so those are longer. And so really to build your endurance for that, you probably need to consider practicing studying and practicing test taking in that same environment. So that way you know what to expect and it helps you to be more successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing the test, knowing the layout and actually putting yourself in that environment. Would you ever work with a patient who was going to run a half marathon and only have them run 6 miles? No, of course not. You would have them build up to something close to the actual race day. And I lucked out. I got similar advice, which was no, not in your room, because your room is this really comfortable environment. I want you to go to the library and get one of those private study rooms and lock yourself in there. And no, you can't take 2 bathroom breaks. You can only take one. So prepare for these things, because if you're awkward on race day, on NPTE day, you know, these things, you know, as Matt here points out, endurance is key.
Hi, Matt. I work with him.
Tell people all the time, like, this is mental endurance. I mean, I think we say we average like a minute or a minute and a couple seconds per question on the NPTE. So by all means, if you get a question, you're like, I got this right away in 10 seconds. Realize you're going to use some of that time. You can bank some of that time to move to the next one. But realize when you get one of those scheduled breaks, hey, your brain, I know it's not a muscle, but you should treat it as this mental endurance of maybe taking a break and taking a couple, maybe take 5 really, really deep breaths, because this thing is going to go deep. Lots of people saying hi. Matt saying hi. Lori saying hi. Drop questions for Mika below in the comment section if you're watching live on Facebook or on Twitter.
Hi, Lori.
We're really talking study and really learning. I know we're bringing up a lot of studying because you're a professor at a PT program, but this probably continues on to we're lifelong learners, Mika.
I heard that
all through PT school, and I was like, man, I thought it was going to end eventually. But being lifelong learners, mindset and commitment afterwards, you went ahead and said, I'm gonna get my specialty examination, and I'm guessing these strategies helped you to do that, because those tests are even more intense in a specific area. If someone's not necessarily going through a specialty exam or the NPTE in PT school, these things have to be just great life skills to have.
Absolutely, because we're always learning something and we're always sharing. And if we are, you know, as this lifelong learner in our profession, the evidence is changing. So we're always having to maybe unlearn some things and, you know, learn some new things. How it was done when I graduated is not the same. And so being open to that and being able to dive into the research and the evidence with this capacity to say, okay, this is something new. I saw this on the journal. I saw some people tweeting about it, because Med Twitter and PT Twitter it keeps us abreast of current events and knowledge. And so just really, if there's something you want to learn in life, you know, we think about our hobbies. A lot of times we focus just on PT, but we do have lives outside of that. And so it's applicable for ourselves as well as for our children.
Right. And this isn't I think or I feel. This is Mika doing research into this, but she was beginning to teach. Samantha saying hi. She's giving a wave. Where do you find this research? Where is this an educational? Is this higher education research? Where do you look for these types of things when you're looking for strategies to give to students or to adopt yourself? Where do you seek these out?
So I found there are some books and some websites that I have really perused. So there is the Learning Scientists. And that website has lots of resources. They have podcasts. They have like infographics to kind of help with understanding the different terms that they go into. And so at various levels, we can look at multiple strategies. So not just the retrieval practice, there's other ways to solidify your knowledge and make sure that you are effective in your studying. So when it actually comes to sitting down and learning the material, do you spend 5 hours on one topic? But the research shows that you need to break that up. So yeah. 25 minutes, you know, we talked, you brought it up and how you need to take those mental breaks. And so, you know, setting a timer, being committed to that timer and saying, okay, for this amount of time, I'm going to focus on this. I know I don't want to stop studying this topic, but I need to for the ability to that mental exercise to be able to jump through topics, because with our PT profession, it's not just one thing. Like you alluded to that, the questions that you were taking, they're multi-level, they're multifactorial. There are a lot of things that are going into dealing with patients and patient populations. So we have to be flexible. And so if you're studying in that manner, then you're also able to produce when it's time to take your test.
Yeah, to actually flex that muscle. So make sure you're strengthening that particular muscle the right way so you can flex it. Everything you're saying, I'm sitting here nodding. I'm actually doing, I'll tip it off. Any colleague who's watching now, just pause this. But I do a great example where I have a pitcher of beer and a pint glass. And I say, this right here, this is your cognitive ability. This is your cognitive load. This is all you can actually absorb in one sitting. And I don't care if you have a pitcher of beer and you keep pouring it, you're just going to eventually pour beer on the floor. So nobody wants to pour beer on the floor. We don't want to ever do that. All right. We don't want to make a mess. We don't want to throw the beer away. But realize if you're studying for 5 hours, it's akin to you just pouring into that same pint glass. Yeah, you got a pint. That's it. So maybe pour the pint full, sit, and maybe digest and say, okay, how long do I need to get this information down? Now I can return to that pitcher, which is still very full, and I can do a couple more ounces now. But absolutely, I'm completely guilty of going, it's an all-night chug fest. I'm just going to try to get as much information in my head as possible. And meanwhile, on the floor, it's just a whole lot of beer. Did we just go information to beer analogy on this show? I think
that's your jam, though. You do it well.
but we're totally guilty of that. And especially, so this is what I want to ask you. In PT school, again, as a second career person coming to PT school, most of my classmates were 10 plus years younger than me. And I still fell right in lockstep with them in terms of, oh my gosh, I got an 88 and you got a 95 and I spent 8 hours studying for this test. I guess I need to spend 12 hours next time. I kind of gave myself the nickname of Marty McFly because I could study for 10 hours or 4 hours and I'd always get an 88, akin to the DeLorean, the speed that it would need to get to go back into the future. No matter what I did, I always got an 88 and I had professors saying it's passing. And eventually it's not going to matter, but how do you talk students off that? I felt like a ledge to me of caring about the 88 versus the 93. Like, teach me, because I still don't know.
I think that's a process. You know, we don't want to not be doing the best.
I know.
You know, but sometimes your best is good enough. And then, you know, if you take a step back and assess what's important to you, because one, are you using effective study strategies? That, you know, in itself could actually make the difference. But then two, what difference in your quality of life is there if you study for 10 hours versus if you effectively study for 5? And then incorporating sleep into this equation, you know. Yeah.
I mean, I had classmates who'd wake up at 5 a.m. to study the morning of the test. My brain did not function. I'd rather study till 2 a.m. than get up at 5. I was like, my brain ain't doing anything at 5 a.m. productive. But where were you in 2015 when I needed that halfway through PT school? What's your undergraduate degree in? Because you're like super curious about this aspect of teaching. But I got it. Like, what's your undergrad degree in?
So my undergraduate degree was in sports medicine. And initially I was going into athletic training and just made a curve through that process and landed in physical therapy.
I like how you're like a curve. That's not that much of a curve. I was a broadcasting major, Mika. I was a journalism major. That's not even a curve. That's more than
a little bend.
More than a 90-degree angle to get in there. Some people chiming in here. Lori saying, yes, some of her students who get an 88 are going to be better PTs than get the 95. Did they continue to learn from the 88? Great point, Lori. Back it up, my Marty McFly 88 on pretty much every test, no matter how hard I studied. But there's other factors, as you're talking, like sleep or other things that can come into it, and strategies, as you mentioned at the top of the show. And again, you have to ask, what is the test actually testing, right? And where am I going to continue to learn? Because some people getting a 99 on the test, they're like, well, I'm done because I'm almost perfect. Why do I need? And you get someone like me who's like, I am clearly not perfect. We got to keep hustling on this game. So when you hear these things from students, I'm sure you get these a lot in terms of relatable activities. Is there something that you have a go-to in terms of how to talk them off that ledge when they start to bring these to you?
I mean, just trying to restate, you know, what I know that we can change, you know, and ultimately it's the individual's decision on how they will proceed with that information. And so I think what Lori brought up was with that 88, if you're still not fulfilled with that grade, you're more likely to say, let me figure out why I got this 88. Like, I want to know what I got wrong because I don't want to keep making these mistakes. And so I think, you know, that hunger for figuring out why I got the questions wrong, not to argue or be in a way where you're just like, I know that was right. It's just, no, like really look at what did you get wrong and why? And that's part of that metacognition, that's part of studying. And so if you can do that before the test, then you're better off. But if even in the test and you got in your anxiety or in your emotions or whatever, you just didn't read the question well, you know, some of that is part of it too. What are your test taking strategies? That's a whole nother conversation. And so just really having that moment of reflection is important.
Yeah. I was really good at narrowing it down to two. And then I was very good at talking myself out of the right answer. I would probably, I mean, if I would give any advice, and do you remember Baz Luhrmann, the song Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen? It was a spoken word. Look it up. Baz Luhrmann is like a movie director, but he did this spoken word and it became a pop song. And I feel like I'm giving advice to people, which is like, I felt like I was so good at talking myself out of the right answer. And the reason was I tried to outthink the professor. Meanwhile, the professor is literally just trying to say, I'm just questioning you. I'm not trying to trick you. Like, right. I think that phrase probably would have helped me get 10 extra, you know, points, which is I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to test you. So don't double red herring the thing that you're trying to figure out. Just answer the question being given. But I was pretty good at talking myself out of the right answer. I don't know why.
I think that's definitely true for us test taker, you know, just in general, hearing your professor say something, it's not always received. Just like when your parents tell you things, you hear it different from your cool cousin or your cool aunt or uncle. Right. And so I had some dialogue with some PT professor friends, and it was, can you come and tell our students these things? Because we've been saying these things, but it hits different when somebody else says the same thing. 100%. And so just to encourage students and say, like, you have the capacity to learn this, you can do this. And if you make a mistake is going to happen. You're the rare occasion that somebody gets 100 on everything. And that's okay, because if you can reflect back on what it is you're learning, what you missed and why you missed it, it makes you better, because we don't want to be wrong. You know, we don't want to skate through this and be like, oh, I barely got through PT school. Like, you put the effort and you put that work into saying, okay, well, why did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
What is it about that topic or that concept that is difficult for me? And that's when maybe you go to your professor and say, okay, can you help me with this concept? This is how I've learned it. This is what I can recall. This is how I would explain it. And then they can help you and guide you on that path too. So reaching out to your professors early is definitely something that I encourage my students. Like, as soon as you identify that there's an issue, sooner than later is so much better than waiting, because that's that other illusion of, oh, it'll get better, because we're optimists, right? I'm an optimist. Sure. It'll get better. There's some things we definitely need to address as soon as possible.
First year PT school, as you're saying this, I'm like, shoot, where were you? It was active and passive insufficiency. Everybody in the room was like, yeah, I get it. I was like, yeah, I get it too. And then I would get every question wrong. And I'm like, I actually don't understand this at all. And then it took one person just being like, here's what it does. I'm like, that's it? Like, I literally thought it was this concept, like, out of the room. And I was like, yeah, I totally get it. I don't need any help. But I would get every question wrong. Like, my professor was like, so you got every active and I was like, but I understand it. She's like, okay, explain it to me. Just as you said, like, see one, do one, teach one. She's like, teach it to me. I'm like, I don't know it. And probably three minutes later, I was like, that's it? And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, that was 15 points on the test. So that's why Jimmy keeps getting 88s, because there was one giant thing I wasn't bold enough to say. Yeah, I'll be honest, I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you please teach me this so I don't lose 15 points on a test?
Yes.
But doing that is huge. That's a lot of psychology, which is being comfortable enough to say, yeah, I think I belong here, but I'm still not getting this. And can you spend 5 minutes on this for me? And I'll work on it. I don't need you to give me the answer, but if you can lead me to how I can figure the answer out, super comfortable. You use the phrase growth mindset a couple times. It's kind of a buzz phrase. I like growth and mindset. What does growth mindset mean to you, though?
It means the capacity to continue to learn. You know, and so sometimes it's like, well, what is it? What is it not? It's not a fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset is I am smart and I don't have to work for it. And I know all the things already. Or a fixed mindset is I'm not as smart as everybody else around me. And I'm never going to be as smart as them. And so what barriers do you already set yourself up for?
Sure.
If you're in that moment of, I don't know, you know, if it's imposter syndrome or if it's just really how you feel. Like, there are just some people that are smarter than me. There are some people that might be smarter than me now, but as soon as I get that knowledge, then I will be just as smart as them, you know. And some of that comes from your dedication to the work and the information and your ability to that self-reflection or that reflection of the knowledge.
I feel I like growth mindset. We had Kadeem Howell on last week and everything's growth. He's like trading stocks and flipping cars and houses in his spare time. And I'm like,
nice.
But I feel like growth mindset is people like Gary Vee. They're talking about it all the time on Twitter and Instagram. I feel like we should adopt like dynamic or static mindset. Like, to me, like a dynamic mindset, because I've heard growth mindset and I'm like, I know what that means.
But I'm so like, tell me about it, Jamie.
Now I do. Because me, I would just say, what does growth mindset mean to me? The way you just described it, I like it better. It's like dynamic mindset. Like, I'm okay with saying, not that great right now. But you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to be 1% better. And 7 days from now, I'm going to be 10% better. And 3 years from now, like, I'm going to be on to some other different things. I think growth, and I mean, in terms of PT, like growth and dynamic, right? Is that word where it's like, it's moving, it's always going forward. So absolutely. I like how you phrase that.
Thank you.
Mark Milligan, before we hit record on this, we were talking, Mark Milligan, we just did a live show with him, and he, your ears must have been burning before we started speaking. So talk to me about some of the conversations you got into in Denver last year, which is, it was like 5 months ago, but feels like 3 years ago. That was actually February of 2020. A presentation that Mark had done, we had talked about that a little bit. He said there was a lot of conversations going on over multiple days, and he mentioned you several times. Why? What did you get into, and why did you feel like this was something important enough at that time? Again, 5 months ago, but feels like 10 years ago. Why was it important enough to talk about?
At CSM, I was able to present with a group that it was a task force, a work group within pediatrics. So with the Academy of Pediatric Physical Therapy, I was on a diversity, equity, and inclusion work group to look at any types of suggestions or recommendations that could be made to make our profession, our specialty, more diverse and welcoming, to include more people that may feel not a part of the community. And so we decided to talk about hot topics and diversity, equity, and inclusion for pediatric physical therapists and assistants. My topic was microaggressions. And at the time, you know, now with all the different things going on in society, it's just like, wow, we were definitely on the pulse of what needed to be addressed. And, you know, it was well received, well represented, where people, you know, came to a lot of the DEI sessions that I even attended as a participant, but just really understanding how and I know Mark talked about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and why it's important to make these efforts is because you want the profession to reflect what society looks like. And so that is in representation of gender, age, sex, gender expression and sexual orientation, like all of those things. Like, we have to be in a space where we are comfortable with people that are different than us. And that makes our profession better. It makes our skill set better. And then talking about microaggressions, it's maybe these are the reasons why people don't want to be in the spaces that they're, that we're trying to welcome them in, because we don't, you know, we're not feeling welcome. If you've ever been marginalized or the only one of a particular category in a group, it's not fun. And it's not fun, especially if somebody is snubbing you or just intentionally or not intentionally just not including you. So it could be a variety of things that are being expressed. So in addition to microaggressions, just looking at how do we make the change? So it's not good to just point the thing out. It's like, so now what do we do with that knowledge?
Do that, right? Yeah, yeah. And what now?
Right. And so then I talked about micro affirmations and how you can include and you can encourage and you give credit to the people that are around you doing great things, especially if they're of a marginalized group, because you don't want their work and effort to not be recognized. And you want them to continue to want to be willing participants in the conversations and the spaces that professionally or personally that they occupy.
Yeah. We one of our producers actually shared a great infographic based on information from the APTA, which is the demographic and the representation of therapists in the profession, and looking at some of the data, because there are, you know, collecting data takes a long time, like a census, but from two censuses ago to the last one, we've actually regressed, which should anger, you know, everybody. It's like we learned what, you know, we researched, we collected data twice, and in the time from A to B, we actually regressed to now. And I guess the question is like, and I'm glad we're having these questions. I'm glad we lined up Mark and you in the same day, just so Mark could be a great opening band for you. Like, you can tell Mark that, be like, hey, thanks for being my opening act. That we're having these conversations, and I called him kind of a CSM Nostradamus, because he was involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion, which was ongoing. It wasn't just him, but also telehealth, which is two topics which have taken the forefront. But you mentioned microaggressions. I had no idea what that term was. I'm 40 years old. I grew up in a white suburb of New York. Like, I had no, like, the most microaggression I would have ever felt is I was the short guy on the baseball team. That's about it. But Mark mentioned, like, you know, examples of not having the proper pronouns on intake forms in PT clinics. We need to think about that, because Absolutely. If you're looking for that and you don't see that, you actually see yourself excluded, because there are things that do not allow, not even an other, a chance for you to write that in. But that's not even enough. We want you to be included. You want to say, we are welcoming you. You need to be on the form. That's this big, but that's a huge example of, we're not prepared for that. We're not having enough discussions, or I should say, we weren't having enough discussions. I hope we will continue to have more discussions about this in the future.
And the effort speaks volumes. I think part of the process is we're not going to get everything right. You know, it kind of goes back to studying and learning. You're not going to get it all right now, but we need to be open for the conversation, for difficult conversations. It might be awkward and uncomfortable, but if we don't have them, then we're in that regressive state of that we're not even going to acknowledge it, that there is really something that could be worked on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, everything I said, we've had several people on. We had some students, I don't want to call them students, new graduates now, because they were students when they wrote their paper, from Texas State, looking at the experiences of Black physical therapists, physical therapy students in Texas. And I think we were off the air when I said this, and I was like, don't take your foot off the gas now. Like, you did this before it was the trendy topic. And I say the trendy topic, not the important topic. You were having a conversation before everybody was like, oh, okay, we need to have this conversation. Don't take your foot off the gas. Like, this needs to be at CSM in every section, right? It can't just be in peds or ortho or sport. Like, it needs to be like, what are we doing? How are we having this conversation in mm-hmm. all of these different areas and these different sections of physical therapy? Otherwise, the next time we do a census, it might be worse. Even though mm-hmm. we're having a conversation, once we're doing something about it, it might be worse. We can't have that.
That's true. Absolutely.
Man, we're getting a lot of comments. Cookies, very, very important. Yeah. She's coming in. Love cooking. Are you ready for three questions? Did you prepare?
I'm ready. I was born ready. I'm a New Yorker, right?
All right, let's do three questions right now. Let's do that one. All right, three questions brought to you by our friends at Arius Medical Staffing. Check them out at AURUSmedical.com. If you were looking to do what you want to do, which is be a great physical therapist or physical therapist assistant anywhere in the U.S., right? 50 states. I tell people all the time, I'm pointing at it, but you can't see it. It's my license. Your PT license is your license to be a PT. So do that where you want to do it in terms of location, geographically, and setting, patient population. See what's out there right now at AURUSmedical.com. Go there, just take a look, AURUSmedical.com. So the first question, from New York, but now you're down in North Carolina. But if you had carte blanche, you can go anywhere in the country that you want to go for 3 months, where would you go?
I would go to New York.
Where in New York would you go?
So for 3 months, I feel like I could span the entire state because yeah. growing up in the city, I didn't see as much of, I would get to Albany, but I would love to see Niagara Falls and just, yeah. Just see it more in a slower pace and be a tourist,
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. And I'm,
explore the city.
Yeah. I'm a New Yorker. I shouldn't say lifelong. I moved around, but like a lot of people here in New York and they're just like, yeah, New York, it's Manhattan. And I'm like, most of New York State is actually a state park. I don't know if people know that. Like Adirondack State Park is like as big as like Rhode Island. Yeah. So it's a pretty diverse state. We border Canada. Like, do people know that? Like New York borders Canada. We got a Great Lake in this state. So New York State, good answer. I like that. Second question is the what question. What's something you've watched, read, listened to, like movie, book, podcast, something that you think the audience could take away and get some information out of?
Just one thing?
You can get two. I'm not going to let you.
So recently I just listened to, because audiobooks are my new thing. And Deep Work is a book that I just listened to. And it just really talked about how you can take pretty much all of these study things and strategies to the next level and in preparation for just putting focused attention into the things that you're doing to be more effective with your time and not allowing distractions to make things take longer in your life. And so I'm probably going to have to listen to it a couple more times to really digest what was in there. But there were a lot of moments where I was like, wow, I want to do more things. I want to do different things. And I want to be respectful of time and this might be a tool.
Yeah. Deep Work. I like that. Do you want to know my strategy the every day? I actually wrote an entire I'm going to be talking to Lynchburg University on Friday. I wrote the entire thing because I went to a park to just kind of like type. There was no Wi-Fi. Mika, do you know what it was like to have no Wi-Fi? It was blissful.
That's part of the no distraction, right?
Fantastic.
And part of what they talk about in that book is just nature and how nature can stimulate you to be more creative. So you had a double whammy right there.
There were trees, there were birds, there was grass, there were some people playing basketball. I was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I'm writing a little bit and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I couldn't Google anything. It was amazing. We always like to start and end with people. Third question on three questions is a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
So I believe her ears are already burning today. So I'm going to say Lisa Van Hoos. She is an amazing human being. There are some students that are on Twitter. So Twitter is where I live for, my social media spot and, just people that I follow there. There's Deja Smallwood. There's Drew Anderson. There is Chelsea Lasky. There is Becky Bliss that you know. I think anybody that is a professor at Methodist University is fantastic. And so those are the people that I would shout out and say that they're working, doing amazing things.
Gotta bring Lisa. Lisa's been mentioned like 5 times. I actually sat next to her at a presentation at Education and Leadership Conference in Seattle. And my professor was actually my professor was in between her, and she was going, my professor Scott was nudging me, and she's like, you have to interview her. I'm like, who is that? She's like, that's Lisa Van Hoos. Oh, that's Lisa Van Hoos. So she's like, you got to interview her. So we'll get her on the show. She's like, yes. My whale right now. I was like, I need to bring her in. So we'll bring her in. All right. That's 3 questions from Arius Medical, AURIUSmedical.com. Let's do your parting shot. Are you ready for this? I think you never prepare for your parting shot. So your parting shot right now. How fancy we are with the grat, like that, like a spinning cube. I have no idea how we even make that thing. Parting shot is brought to you by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, orthopt.org. Tomorrow we're talking to Chris Hughes on the show about tissue tolerance. They have a tissue tolerance course and a running course, because I feel like everybody and their mom, including my mom, is like running now or biking. Like those two things, like, hey, let's grab onto this. Like everybody's biking and running and doing stuff. Like, let's not make it like 6 months from now, everybody's just hurt and not doing it. So the Academy of Orthopedic PT has several courses. We're going to give you a chance to win your choice. Just like you win one, you pick one. Check out what they have to offer at orthopt.org. We're talking to Chris Hughes tomorrow. So your parting shot, Mika.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for this opportunity. And for everyone listening, you know, have a growth mindset. And I think setting your goals are important, because if you set your goals, not just something that you really think is attainable, set your goals for something beyond your wildest expectation, and you'll be surprised where you land.
Love that. Short, sweet, to the point. Who knows? I mean, what do they say? Like, aim for the stars, and if you miss, you hit the moon. I don't know. Somebody said it way better than me.
I think aim for the moon.
Moon. You're right. I'm sorry. Thank you.
But I feel like that's, you know, kind of what I'm doing now. I would have never imagined to be in these spaces to have these conversations, but here we are.
Here we are. Let's keep going. Would love to have you back soon. We could talk more PEDS PT, because I feel like we should do an entire episode on just obstacle courses. Because if you don't like
obstacles, that's everybody's favorite.
If you don't like obstacle courses, I don't want to know you. Like, the floor is, in fact, lava, which
is lava
on TV.
Yes, on Netflix. Yeah.
How insane is that? Like, this is the thing we've been talking about.
I wanted to know, but is the floor really lava?
I know. Well, there's one. We'll get the volcanologist.
It's red water. Spoiler is red water. Spoiler.
The lawyers would have a field day with that. Mika, it's been a pleasure. We'll have you back soon. And thanks for sharing some insight on great topics. All right.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.